Please join your hearts with me in prayer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the iconic movie series of my youth was a trilogy of movies called the Back to the Future series. If you haven't seen those movies, or if it's been a while, the basic storyline is that an eccentric scientist named Doc Brown, in the year 1985, invents a time machine on the chassis of a sports car. And then Doc Brown and his young friend Marty McFly spend the movie series traveling back and forth through time, getting into all kinds of scrapes. Well, I saw something on social media that made me chuckle this week because it's 1985, and there's Doc Brown and Marty McFly sitting in the cockpit of the time machine, and Doc Brown is demonstrating the instrument panel to Marty, pointing to the time circuits, and he sternly warns Marty, "Whatever you do, never set the time circuits to the year 2020. Every single one of us, this has been a crazy year. Every single one of us has lost something important to us in the year 2020. Everybody's lost something. Some of us have lost important rites of passage, like graduations and senior proms. Some of us have lost long-anticipated trips or reunions with family and friends. And it's not just the pandemic that has caused us to lose things. This is a bitter election year. And the toxic and corrosive partisanship that is all around us in this season of renewed urgent conversations about racism and justice and the social contract. Some of us have even lost relationships that are important to us. 2020 has unleashed some type of loss on every single person with whom we share this planet. And some of those losses have been far more severe than others, like the loss of a business or a job or income, the loss of a sense of health and well-being, and even tragically, so much loss of life. As a general rule, we human beings, we don't like to lose things, no matter how small or trivial or insignificant they might seem to others. To be human is to form attachments to people and places and things. And when those attachments get broken, well, that brokenness causes pain, fear, anxiety, grief. So many of us are enduring losses of different kinds these days, and we are all fearful about what the future might hold for our nation, for our community, and especially for those most dear to us. And that fear and that grief, they're so potent. I don't recall a time in my lifetime that there's been such a palpable sense of fear and grief around the world. And we are all left wondering, oh, that's so potent. Is there something that can dilute it? Is there something that can take the edge off? Because it seems like it's going to take something more than to just buck up and keep a stiff upper lip. Is there something that can smooth the jagged, sharp edges of that pain and grief and heartache that 2020 continues to serve up? It seems like it's going to take something more than to just get a grip or to grin and bear it. And that's something that can take the edge off of that potent fear, that's something that can soothe the searing pain, well, it lies at the heart of Psalm 100 that is before us today. As you know, this summer we've been preaching our way through the book of Psalms. And as we said every Sunday, the book of Psalms is not a book in the classical sense of that word, but rather an anthology, a collection of poems and prayers and songs and hymns that were composed and compiled over a very long period of time in biblical history. Not only are the Psalms God's word to us, but they're also our words to God. And they have functioned something like the prayer book and the hymnal of our ancient ancestors in faith. And indeed, Psalm 100 sounds like a hymn. As a matter of fact, we sang an arrangement of it in our first hymn this morning. Or perhaps it can be read as instructions for those who are charged with leading the worship of the people of God. So listen now for a word from God from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as we said, because the Psalms were compiled and composed over a very long period of time, for many of the Psalms, we don't know much about their author or the composition history of the piece. I've always in my mind imagined that Psalm 100 was originally written for use in the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, for our ancient ancestors in faith, the temple that stood in Jerusalem was not just a house of worship. It was considered to be the dwelling place of God on earth. And in its day, it was probably the most impressive and grand structure in the known world. I imagine that when our ancestors gathered to worship, pilgrims came from all over the earth to Jerusalem to worship, and I do imagine it was a joyful noise from all over the earth. Perhaps it might have looked like something that John of Patmos sees in his Revelation. When he sees this, he writes, "And I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the Lamb and before the throne, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Make a joyful noise.'" I think about what it sounded like in this room this past Christmas Eve. The room was packed full, and you all sang, "O come, all ye faithful, make a joyful noise indeed." But this psalm sounds different to my ears today. For more than 20 Sundays, these pews have been almost entirely empty. The pandemic has exiled most of us away from this house of worship for a season. The year 2020 has been a year of loss for every one of us. Who knows what is yet to come? And so I thought again about the temple in Jerusalem and about what happened in Jerusalem about 600 years before the birth of Christ. About 600 years before Christ, Jerusalem was invaded. And the temple was ripped to its foundation. And thousands of our ancestors were exiled, not only from the temple, but from their homes. Along with the story of the Exodus, the story of the exile is one of the dominant themes of the entire Hebrew Bible. And so I wonder, did the psalmist compose Psalm 100 while in the temple when times were good? Or did the psalmist compose Psalm 100 in exile when times were so very, very hard? We all know it's easy to sing praise to God when we're standing on the mountaintop. It's easy to claim the name of Christ when it doesn't cost much. It's another thing altogether to give thanks to God even while walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's another thing altogether to claim the name of Christ when the cross comes into view. As I sat with Psalm 100 this week, as I tried to reconcile the dissonance between all of these major chords and triumphant sounds of worship and praise and thanksgiving in this psalm that sound so off-key in the middle of a global pandemic and civil unrest and bitter divisiveness and so much pain and grief, I started to wonder, what if the psalmist wrote from a place of exile? And what if there's wisdom for you and me? What if the antidote to all of that fear that you're experiencing is not necessarily just to buck up and keep a stiff upper lip? What if the antidote to all of that grief is not necessarily just to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get over it? What if there is something in this psalm that can take some of the sting out of the grief, that can take some of the edge off the fear and anxiety? Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. So enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks and bless His name. What if the psalmist wasn't writing from the mountain, but from the valley? If that's the case, then I don't think the psalmist is telling us that it will all be pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I don't think the psalmist is telling us just believe in the power of positive thinking. I think the psalmist is signaling to us, is showing us the coordinates, the longitude and latitude of the place where we can find a balm, a salve for our weary souls. The psalmist is showing us the way to gratitude. You and I, we live in a culture and we make our living in an economic system that depends on the concept of private ownership. You want to prove that you own your home, you produce the deed to the property. You want to prove that you are the rightful owner of your vehicle, you produce the title to your car. You want to prove that you have accumulated assets, well, you produce a statement from the bank. Pieces of paper that show that we own things. And all of that is fine and good. But the biblical truth, the biblical reality is that you and I don't actually own anything. The Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. And that means that every single thing that you have, every relationship that's important to you, everything that you are, everything you will be, it doesn't ultimately belong to you. Everything you have and everything you are is a gift from the God that made us. It's a gift from the God that loves us so much, that loves you so much that God did not withhold God's only Son from you, from the God who would rather go to the cross for you than live without you. And when you come to that biblical understanding of how all of this works, that everything belongs to God, that God entrusts the things that are God's, the people, the relationships, the things that are important to you, that God entrusts those to your stewardship, but only for a season of time. Well, it doesn't completely eliminate the pain of losses past, nor does it completely dissolve the fear of losses yet to come. But gratitude can take some of the edge off. Gratitude can feed you in the wilderness. Gratitude can comfort you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Gratitude can be the anti-venom for the poison of fear and anxiety. My friend, I know this has been a hard year. You have already lost so much that you value, and I fear there may be yet more to come. But even so, I hope you will heed the wisdom of Psalm 100 and find it within you to give thanks for all that God has poured into you. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, even if it's for something as simple as the fact that as of this moment right now, you have air in your lungs and blood in your veins. Because God made us. We are His. And there's nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. So the year 2020 was supposed to be a big one in the life of the First Presbyterian Church of Athens, Georgia. I don't know about you, but it seems like it was a lifetime ago, but it was only January when we gathered out here on the front steps and rang the church bell 200 times to ring in our bicentennial year. Celebration plans that have been more than 5 years in the making have had to be rescheduled or reworked or shelved altogether. We are all tired of live stream worship services and Zoom meetings and Sunday school. We all miss casual conversations over a cup of coffee in the atrium. We miss handshakes and unmasked smiles. We lament that we have not been able to safely gather in this room and say grace and give witness to the resurrection over sisters and brothers who have joined the church triumphant in recent months. We have lost so much that we value as a congregation, and it is perfectly natural and perfectly acceptable to grieve those losses. But there is something that can take the edge off. Let us remember the wisdom of Psalm 100, which leads us to the latitude and longitude of gratitude. Let us be a church that is faithful enough to not just praise and give glory to God from the mountaintop, but then can give praise even in exile and in the valley. I don't imagine, if given the opportunity, many of us would be willing to jump in a time machine and go do much of 2020 again. But even so, we know this. The Lord is God, and the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.